and care and keeping, and praying that thou wilt be with us and bless our souls tonight. Oh Lord, let it not be a barren time for our souls, but may it be a time when we do spiritually glean, a glean of that true corn of the gospel, that our souls may be strengthened, revived if necessary, and encouraged, that we may press on in this world in which we live at the present time. And Lord, we often think of that word in Esther for such a time as this. Lord, may we all know and realize that we are walking upon the earth for that ordained purpose of our God. And therefore help us to honor thee in all that we do and say, and to not be left to please ourselves, but to seek to please our gracious God. And so, Lord, come now and bless us, we pray, forgiving our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us stand as we read our second hymn, number 534. Hymn number 534. Mercy speaks by Jesus' blood. Hear and sing, ye sons of God. Justice satisfied indeed. Christ has full atonement made. Jesus' blood speaks loud and sweet. Here all deity can meet, and without a jarring voice, welcome Zion to rejoice. Should the law against her roar, Jesus' blood still speaks with power. All her debts were cast on me, and she must and shall go free. Peace of conscience, peace with God, we obtain through Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood speaks solid rest. We believe and we are blessed. Hymn number 534.
Well, may it please Almighty God to come and to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his holy word. So let's turn to the first psalm, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. The first psalm, and reading verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is a very wonderful and a very beautiful beginning to the book of Psalms. And short as it is, it really gives a picture of separation between those who are godly and those who are ungodly. And therefore, it tells us in the first place, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Those are the godly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So it describes what they're like, and then it describes what they desire to do. And this is really very wonderful, because as I often say, there's many important buts in the Word of God, and there is a very important but here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there we have a description of a godly person. And then we're told the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And then the Lord concludes, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So surely how relevant and how important it is for us to have the evidence that we are among the godly. We don't want to be surely amongst the ungodly. And so this statement is very important to us. And we're told his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now we should realize that here in this psalm, the psalmist, who in all probability was David, he only had the first five books of the Bible. He only had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was all that was available to him. And those books, of course, were written by Moses, while Moses was still alive on the earth, just before he was taken from this earth and just before Israel went across Jordan into Canaan. So therefore, he is referring to those first five books. And yet you see, in those first five books, he was able to delight. And he was able to delight in the law of the Lord. And because he delighted in that, he tells us, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, this shows to us really the wonderful reality of real religion. It's not something which is just picked up and put down, something almost irrelevant, just passing through some duty. It was because he really loved those books. He really wanted to read those books. He really wanted to meditate upon them, and not just a little while. He tells us this, that he may meditate in his law, that he meditate day and night. It wasn't just perhaps when he was free to do something. He says in the day and at night time. Obviously, he slept at night, but if he woke up at night, this is what he delighted in: the law of God, the word of God. Well, it's a wonderful example, and it's a wonderful testimony for us. We might think, well, this word meditate, that's what he's doing. It really means to ponder. It really means to think about. And we have so much, don't we? When we think of the whole Bible, now we have not only those first five books, we have the whole 66 books in the Bible to be able to consider and to be able to meditate upon. And what a glorious fullness there is in them, isn't there? I hope we can really, really understand why David was able to say he delighted in this. It was no chore for him. It was no duty for him. It's what he delighted in. And surely that shows the wonderful work of God's Spirit in our hearts. If we pick up the Bible and we open it and we read it and we delight in it, because we realize how important it is and how relevant it is. And because God's word speaks to our hearts. You know, we read those few verses in the 119th Psalm, and I'm sure I've told you that 119th Psalm is separated into sections, really, with the Hebrew alphabet. And those sections, in every section, it has thy word, the word of God, thy word. It's not the word of man, it's God's word, thy word. And that 119th Psalm is really, really very wonderful and really very beautiful. And we read those verses from 97 to 104, because twice in that section the word meditate is spoken of. First of all, in the 97th verse, we're told, oh, how love I thy law, like this here. But he really expounds it a bit more, and he says this: it is my meditation all the day. Well, we may think that's a bit extravagant, David, all the day, but at least we have the understanding, don't we? He so loved, we might say, his Bible. He so loved it that he wanted to meditate on it all the day. He didn't say, well, I've read those few verses and shut the book up and say, well, that's it, that's me for the day. No, it was with him. Because although perhaps he wasn't reading the Bible all the time, what he had read, he was pondering. What he had read, he was meditating upon. It wasn't as though he just read a bit and then shut the book up and went on his way and carried on with his work and forgot about it. So if anybody had said, hey, what did you read this morning? He wouldn't have said, oh, well, I can't remember. No, here was a man of God. A man of God taken up with the things of God. A man of God who meditated upon the great and glorious truth of God. Hasn't God given us a wonderful example for us today? In our age, and we cannot say, oh, I can't do that, I'm just too busy. You see, he meditated on that. He meditated, and I may have told you, and I can tell you again, I remember in my life one particular occasion, one particular day, I was so blessed that I really meditated on God's word throughout the day. And yet I did all my work, and as you know, I was an engineer, and there were calculations and complex calculations to do. I just did them, not really realizing what I was doing. God was with me. God blessed me. Wonderful, isn't it? And believe you me, we are the same God today. The same great and glorious God. How often we seem to belittle God. And we say, I haven't got time for this. I've got to get on with this. And let's put first things first. Because the condition of our soul is the most important thing. Nothing else is as important as our soul. And therefore, we should truly rejoice in this wonderful favour and wonderful blessing that God has given us, his word. And then the second word in the 119th Psalm that we read together was just a couple of verses later in verse 99. And this is what it says: I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That means that God had blessed him with a right meditation on his word and had given him an understanding. You see, that's very wonderful, isn't it? You know, we have a great teacher, and our teacher is our God. And our God does teach us as we read the word. We may say, oh, I can't understand this, and I must read something a bit easier. Well, you know, what you forget to do is to pray to God that he will give you an understanding. And then as you have that understanding given to you, you know what the result is? As our text. Delight in his law. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate all the day. Now, how good it is to meditate. I suppose it's something which is perhaps not done very much today. And yet, you know, it is good sometimes just to sit quietly and to truly meditate on the things of God. We can go right back, can't we? We can go right back to Genesis. We can trace out God's wonderful work of salvation. We can think of the wonderful prophecies which are given to us in the Old Testament. And perhaps we might think, well, I don't really know much about those. Well, you may not know much about those, but we can search them out. And then when we come across one, we can take it to our hearts and we can meditate on it and see how it's been worked out in the life and death and resurrection of our great and glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does these understandings give to us? They give to us an establishment in the truth of God's word. We find that our soul is strengthened to believe these great truths. And they're really good to us. And they're precious to us. And we delight in them. We understand perhaps then what David said. Perhaps we never did. But now, as the Holy Spirit gives us the understanding, we rejoice and we delight in God's word. What a wonderful blessing it is. What a wonderful favour it is. Shown us one thing. We can praise God and we can bless God for it and we can meditate upon it and we won't want to throw it away. We want to often think about what God has done in our soul. The wonderful work, the wonderful revelation of his Spirit to us. Delight. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. As I was considering this subject, I came across a very apt and very able statement by Martin Luther. I thought I might just read it to you. Martin Luther, as you know, was a monk and a man that God wonderfully used way back, hundreds of years back now, wonderfully used to really be the commencement of what we term the Reformation. It's a wonderful period in the history of our nation. And this man, Martin Luther, he didn't have lots of people to instruct him, but he had a wonderful instructor. And that instructor is still alive today. And that, of course, is God himself. But anyway, I'll just read this to you. This is what he said. To meditate, as it is generally understood, signifies to discuss, to dispute, and its meaning is always confined to a being employed in words, as in Psalm 32 and verse 30, the mouth of the righteous shall meditate wisdom. Hence, Augustine, you may remember Augustine, was a man who lived just a few centuries after the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, Augustine has in his translation chatter. And a beautiful metaphor it is, as chattering is the employment of birds, so a continual conversing in the law of the Lord, for talking is peculiar to man, ought to be the employment of man. But I cannot worthily and fully set forth the gracious meaning and force of this word, for this meditating consists first in an intent observing of the words of the law. So just stop there. You know, it means as you and I read something to focus on it. We haven't got to take with us a chapter. We haven't got to take with us a book. It can perhaps just be a couple of words, perhaps just a short sentence, and to meditate upon that, as Luther says here, consists first in an intent observing of the words of the law, and then in a comparing of the different scriptures. You see what a mercy that is. We have the Bible, and of course we have things called concordances and many helps to enable us to compare scripture with scripture. Of course, Luther didn't have that. But Luther was a great giant in the Word of God. And he was able to read it, of course, in the original languages of Hebrew and Greek. And he was therefore able to remember, oh, I've read that there, and I've read that there, and then compare them, and to meditate upon what it meant. Well, we know the great blessing it was to Luther. And so there is a comparing of the different scriptures, which is a certain delightful hunting. And he then brings the analogy of this hunting, obviously, which is happening in his day, when he says, nay, rather a playing with stags, that's deers in a forest, where the Lord furnishes us with the stags and opens to us their secret coverts where they hid, etc. And what he's really saying here is, there we have the Word of God, and there we find suddenly wonderful truths hidden away. And we find, as we come across these, that compares with that scripture. And that really fills me with delight. I see the glory of God's Word and the fulfillment of it and the application of it and the suitableness of it, because it describes my condition and my soul, and I rejoice in it. Yes, where the Lord furnishes us with the stags and opens to us their secret coverts. And from this kind of employment, there comes forth at length a man well instructed in the law of the Lord to speak unto the people. What a blessing it is, therefore, if you and I a favour to meditate on in the Word of God and to be strengthened in our souls, to realise how true it is and how it all flows together. There's no schism in the Word of God. People try and separate and break it down and find its fault. My friends, there's no schism in the Word of God. It all flows together. And the more you and I are able to meditate upon it, the more we delight in it. I'm sure we can understand what Martin Luther said in that quotation. Well, he was a blessed, faithful man of God. You see, you and I cannot expect to be really blessed. Remember, this psalm starts off with those very words, blessed is the man. A man like this, a man who truly delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the testimony, and that's the example that we have before us here in this word. And that, you see, as I stop really at the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our meditation, we can then go on, can't we, to believe that the Lord Jesus has gone. He is now in glory. And what is he doing there? We're told he's seated on the throne, on the right hand of God the Father. For what cause? To intercede for us, to take our prayers as we pray to the Father and intercede for us to his Father, so that our prayers are accepted. There is so much to meditate upon in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as we compare it with all the Old Testament, what we might term ceremonial law, which was instituted in the day of Moses to direct the people to God, to direct the people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't named as the Lord Jesus Christ, but there he was in the Old Testament. And we have one very important word relative to that, which proves it for us. And that's the word of Jesus when he was on this earth. He says these words: Abraham, one of the patriarchs, saw my day and was glad. He believed the Messiah, the Saviour, would come. His faith was in the Saviour. What a wonderful consideration that is. And how, again, strengthening it is to think that all those men we can read of in the New Testament, the 11th of Hebrews, who walked by faith and by faith were able to do wonderful things. It was because they had that great, glorious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we need the same, don't we? We need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to meditate upon what he's done, and meditate upon what he's doing, and meditate also on what he will do. You may say, what will he do? He's waiting to receive us unto himself into glory. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. To think that our Saviour, the second person in the Trinity, the Almighty God, has that great plan for all of his people to receive them into glory. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? It's a very humbling thought, but it's a very important thought, and it's really worth meditating on, because as you and I are on this earth, with many things perhaps to cast us down and to distract us, we have a sinful heart, a sinful nature, which often casts us down, and we wish we weren't so bad, and we wish we were a lot better. We wish we were not so foolish in so many things. But what a mercy, Lord, enables us to meditate upon him. What a glorious position. What a wonderful position. What an amazing position. And so says the psalmist here, but his delight. I think it's so important to join this word delight with meditation, because it's to meditate upon glorious things. It tells us in his law, and that of course we can recognize today as not just those first five books in the Bible. We can recognize that the law of God refers really to the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So we've got that great volume, by the grace of God, you and I are able to meditate upon. Don't forget, as he says, day and night. And I just want to give one more quotation on this medication. And this is by a man who was lived in the 17th century, 1617, like many great men did. He tells us this. It's a man called Nathaniel Rareview. Never heard of him until I came across this. Meditation helps judgment, wisdom, and faith to ponder, discern, and credit the things which reading and hearing supply and furnish. It assists the memory to lock up the jewels of divine truth in our sure treasury. It has a digesting power and turns special truth into spiritual nourishment. And lastly, it helps the renewed heart to grow upward and increase its power to know the things which are freely given to us of God. Condensed, just a condensed statement, is from Nathaniel Renew. So I'm sure we can bless God for these quotations which men far abler than me are able to set before us. Well now, just very quickly, the next verse. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth her fruit in its season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now remember, this is referring to those who delight and meditate in the word of God. They shall be like a tree planted. And that means that you and I don't plant ourselves. What it means is God has planted us in a place where